Hello and welcome to the Ebony POV, a podcast that talks about everything in the Big Brother universe from an ebony point of view. I'm your host, Michael B., and I'll be here to discuss everything Big Brother, from the fights to the competitions to the house guests and to the strategies, and give a perspective from an African American's point of view. Thank you for joining us, and we can't wait to get started with and talk about everything Big Brother. So we finally got to experience our first veto episode of the season, and I have to admit, it was a great episode considering all the stuff that they had available to put in. I think it was great. I think it highlighted a lot of the characters. I think it kind of showed at least a little bit what is happening strategy-wise in the house from the feeds. And we got a few, you know, kind of funny stuff too. So I liked the episode. As always, I'll show some things that I really liked about the episode. Of course, some things that I didn't like about the episode. And of course, we'll talk about the star players and the ones that need to be nominated for eviction outside of this episode. So let's go ahead and get into that. All right, so before I get into the things that I really didn't like and I like about the episode, as well as the star players, let's give a quick summary of the main highlights of the episode. One of the main highlights is, the actual veto ceremony. We actually got to see the six players that were picked, which was, you know, of course, Keisha and Kevin as the nominees, Cody as the head of household, and then we got to see Tyler get picked, we got to see Ian get picked, and then, of course, Kevin got house guest choice, he ended up picking Enzo. So they go outside to the backyard to see this big, elaborate competition that they obviously showed that was sponsored by Farmer's Market, and it was called the It's Bananas. So there was three parts. So I think it was an intricate competition where they had to ride on this banana to generate time on a timer so they can get off the banana and stack puzzle pieces shaped like fruit as high as they can and as many as they can. And the goal was to have the most amount of fruit stacked without falling in the shortest amount of time. And the thing about the banana is that the timers by their stacks could be generating time when they ride on the banana. If that timer runs out, then it is qualified. It doesn't matter how many they have stacked at that point. And then total, all of the contestants only had 30 minutes total to stack their fruit. Like I said, it was for a veto competition. I mean, I think it's a fair veto competition, but at the same time, it was very complicated. And to try to keep track of three or four things made it hard for the contestants. But at the same time, it's like I expect something like that to be a power veto competition. Anyway, people kept stacking and stacks kept falling. And then at one point, the only person that actually clocked in their stack was Enzo. Everybody else had either failed or ran out of time. So Enzo ended up winning the competition. I will say that Kevin should have won. Kevin saw that he had one more piece of fruit stacked over Enzo after Enzo clocked in. And he should have clocked in then. He saw Keisha there. He wanted to be a big winner. Like, I would have clocked in then, seeing how many times that it fell, I would have hoped for the best. The main thing is, if you're on the block and you have a chance to beat somebody that's not on the block to have the power in your hands in a competition like that, I would do that. Yes, Keisha's there. If she's there, and even though she's been struggling the whole time, she's there, she beats you, fine. I think it's always good that somebody else comes off the block and you get to see a third option, regardless if it's you or the other person. You always want it to be you to be safe, but to keep the nomination the same, at least in some instances, is a worse option. If it turns out that she does end up beating you and she gets off the block, fine. That means you have a whole other option that you can, and you can work with the head of household to try and get to nominate somebody that you know you can beat on the block. But it is what it is. I understand that he was nervous. So So, but the point is, like, he lost that competition. It's almost like he didn't win. He lost that competition. He could have won. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's good to see Enzo win a competition. It's good to say that, hey, Enzo can do something. And it's always good to say that you're one of the first competition winners of the season. So now we have Cody with the first HOH. You have Kazar with the first safety suite competition winner. And then you have Enzo, who has won the first power of Vito. So good on Enzo for that. Another key highlight for me was the formation of the Black Girl Alliance. I loved it. I was glad to see it on the feeds. Again, they didn't show the whole conversation, but they did show that, yes, Bayley and Devon are united together. Bayley and Devon want to go to the end together. And Bayley and Devon is basically talking about the black girl magic. And I think it was good that they showed that for us, as well as for them, showing that, yes, they are playing the game. They're not being, you know, stagnant and just going every which way. I'm glad they showed that. And on that point, probably the other things that showed on the Vito episode was Kazar's conversation with Devon and Nicole Anthony, who was there as well, about, you know, about society, about understanding size. Like, I love seeing it on the feeds. It definitely showed that despite, you know, maybe some misreads on the house and a little bit arrogance on Kazar's part, that he really is, you know, in touch with where society is, and like most old school players, want to make connection as well as going aggressive gaming. And I loved what he said about, you know, we need to learn how to hear people's whispers. I love that. Devon loved it. Devon even knew, pointed to the camera, like, oh, this is going to be a moment. This is going to be a moment. And when we saw it on the feeds, it's like, well, it's a moment. I don't think it'll make the TV show. But not only did it make the TV show, it was almost the first thing that they showed right after the Vito nominations. I mean, excuse me, after the initial nomination. So I'm glad that they showed that conversation with them. They didn't show all of it, but they showed the important stuff with Kazar that shows that this is part of what Big Brother is about. Not just gameplay, but also the social connections within that gameplay. And that's what I love about Big Brother. I've loved about it ever since it's been on for 22 years, and it's little things like that, as well as aggressive gameplay, that make me come back every year. So those are the highlights of the episode. So now we're going to get into what I liked and what I didn't like about the episodes in general. All right, so let's get into the likes and dislikes of the episodes. So let's talk about the positive things first. Let's talk about things that I liked. One, I've already talked about it, you know, the movement conversation between Bayley and Devon. Now, they haven't officially named their alliance, but I mean, I think they were calling it the movement, I guess, and I think they edited enough in the show to not realize that when you look at the full conversation on the feeds, it wasn't just about, you know, them two going to the final two. It was about a Black person going to the final two and finally winning this game on a regular season. Shout out to Tamar Braxton, but that was Celebrity Big Brother. They still want somebody to win a quote unquote regular season of Big Brother. They even talked about on the feeds about trying to bring David into this alliance, and they kind of already have Kevin. But with Kevin on the block, they are evaluating options. But the fact that they are talking about a final two because of that, that's where the real Black Magic conversation was. So they edited enough, I guess, so people wouldn't be so offended about that. But at the same time, I wish they would have included it in, because that was part of the conversation. But I did love the fact that they actually took the time to include that in and show the thought process, you know, with the DRs that they included along with it. So I love that. I also love the conversation with Ian talked about with a group about his autism. Now, I was kind of surprised, even though I loved it, I was kind of surprised that they didn't refer to another conversation that he had with Kazar and Nicole Anthony about it. And I think this conversation that they actually showed on the episode was actually after that fact. But I like the fact that Ian was talking about his diagnosis and how he's been living with it after Big Brother 14. And I'm glad that he got to express in his own term, on his own terms about it, instead of other people trying to dictate what his experience was like. So I'm glad that happened. I think it was an important conversation, and how even though he has already won, because he's on the show again, that he will be an inspiration to people that may be on the spectrum later on down the line, even if he doesn't win this season. And then, of course, I love the Kesar and Devon conversation. I think it was great. I think I absolutely loved it. I hope they're able to maybe take the feedback and try to find more, not necessarily with that subject matter, but more social connections in the house, just like that, whether it be comedic or real deep, like Kesar and Devon's conversation was. I want those included in the episodes just as much as the competition, just as much as kind of like the funny little tidbits and the strategy sessions. Like I said, Big Brother is a game, but there's a whole lot of stuff that make it part of the game, and the quote unquote non-game social interactions are still part of the game, and we want to see it because not only is it good game, it's good TV. So those are the things that I liked most about the episode. Now let's talk about the things that I did not like. Like I said, this was a good episode. This was an entertaining episode, so it's not like they're like bad things, but they could have did some stuff and left some stuff out. That's probably the main thing I would complain about this episode, as someone who's paid attention to the feeds and actually saw the live feed version of a lot of these instances and conversations. They left a lot out. Now, it's TV. Editing happens. But like with the Bailey and Devon conversation about their final two, and the Kesar and Devon conversation about society and understanding each other, they left some things out, and it's like, okay, where's this part? And that's probably something that, you know, we'll always have to get used to, because if you're really paying attention to feeds and you see these conversations and then you see the edited version, you're like, okay, but he said that though, or they did that before that happened. And sometimes they put conversations out of order and out of the actual timeline. But I mean, that's just TV editing. So, I mean, it's kind of a pet peeve for me, but it is what it is. Another thing that I really didn't like was Keisha and Cody's conversation. That kind of made Keisha really look bad, and I don't really like that, especially considering, if you know from the feeds, Keisha and Cody's conversation was a lot more friendly. I mean, there were awkward parts as far as game, but it was a lot more friendly, and more importantly, lasted a whole lot longer. As people, they had a great conversation. Maybe as fellow house guests, she was too scared to really try and get a point across, like, why nominate me? But it wasn't as awkward as it sounded, at least not in the overall scheme of things. But it's like, you made it look like they only talked for like 2 seconds and she barely said anything. No, they were there for a good long time, at least an hour and a half, where they were talking to her and being friendly with each other. Now, Cody was probably BSing her, but it still made it look like more awkward than it actually was. Another thing I didn't like about the episode is the whole Kevin talking game in the bathroom. I mean, I understand they're trying to set up both Kevin and Enzo as a comic relief. And, you know, Kevin is great with the DRs. And, you know, he can be emotional when he needs to be. Like when he realized that he lost the competition and started getting over emotional and crying in the DR. Or when he's talking about other people and, you know, he kind of, you know, has that tongue-in-cheek, you know, conversation with the camera. I like that, but they could have left the whole Kevin in the bathroom out. It really wasn't funny. I mean, they tried to be, but they could have left that out. But I guess, you know, like I said, they have to have some kind of little comedic tidbit in each episode, just because it is a TV episode. So, I mean, let them have it, but they could have left that out as far as I'm concerned. The only, speaking of leaving things out, like I said earlier, the one thing that really irritated me more than leaving out parts of the conversation is the actual veto ceremony itself. So you have Enzo do what they usually do, have him look at the veto, put on the veto, have the veto box, go to everybody outside, slide the sliding door, and tell everybody in the outside that the veto series is about to begin. So, you know, everybody ends up sitting down, and he makes the formal speech. So this is the veto ceremony that you know he has the power to veto one nominees. I was like, okay, cool. But what they didn't do is allow Kevin and Keisha to do their final speeches. Now I have to assume that they actually did. They just edited out. They Enzo gave his spiel, and then they immediately cut to "I have decided." And I was like, why no final pleas? I would have loved to hear what Keisha and Kevin had to say, because I know Kevin's going to probably try to say something funny, and you know, try to say something funny and say probably even do a guilt trip, but like act like he doesn't mean it when he really does. He's just trying to be funny about it. And then Keisha would have probably been not emotional, trying to show that she was strong and that, you know, whatever happens, even though she definitely probably wasn't expecting Enzo to use it on her. I just would have loved, just out of curiosity, what they said. And they haven't said anything on the feeds about the veto speeches, but there's no way they didn't happen. So that was kind of like a ugh for me. But you know, that's just one of the things I didn't like. So that's what I liked and didn't like about the episode. But like I said, it was a great episode. So let's get into the star players and the bad players. All right, so who do I think for this first veto episode of the season, who were the star players, the people that shined in the episode, and who could have been left on the editing floor? Okay, so obviously I love K-Star's speech, but he wasn't a bigger part of the episode as he was in the previous one. And I will say this, that I thought he was going to be a bigger part of the episode, not just because of that possibility, that speech coming in, it's just because that the day of the actual veto ceremony, which was this Monday, was Kazar's birthday, his 40th birthday, and his first birthday where he wasn't kicked out of the house. I thought they were going to include that, but I have to assume they're actually going to include that tonight, because I mean, Kazar's birthday was a moment in the house, so I hope they include that. But I will say Ian was a star. I think even though K-Star's speech was good, I would say Ian was a real star, not only he was actually able to talk about his autism. At the same time, he was a part of the veto competition, so he had DRs from that. Then also it showed the establishment of the quote-unquote Million Club with Ian and Nicole Frenzel that Enzo saw. It's like you have to keep an eye on Nicole Frenzel just like Cody has his deal. Nicole Frenzel has her deal where they're going to try and go to the end together because they're two winners and they know, and it's the truth, that Nicole and Ian will have to play a super spectacular game to be awarded another win. Otherwise, just out of sympathy, they're going to go with another person if they're in the final two and the person besides them is not a winner. Maybe runner-up, they still may do it, but otherwise, if it's not a winner, they're probably going to give it to them. So Ian was definitely, I think, a star of the episode. Like I said, I would expect to see K-Star Market sitting when what was going on the feeds, but I am glad that Ian was a star of the episode. I would say Kevin was probably a star of the episode. Even though I didn't like everything that he was giving us, I think Kevin was a star of the episode. They did allow him to be funny in the DRs. They did have allowed him to see a lot of the moments of him talking with people. So if I had to pick two stars of the episode, I definitely have to say Ian and Kevin. They carried the episode. The people that could have been left on the shopping floor, Nicole didn't do anything this episode. In these first couple of weeks, it's not really been much about her. So, of course, they didn't need to include much from her, but that's just the way it is. I would definitely say Nicole definitely could have been left on the editing floor, and I almost want to say Keisha, because for a nominee, they didn't show her as much. It was almost more about Kevin losing the veto than it was for Keisha. But they could have left her on the editing floor. And I guess another one probably say was Christmas, because Christmas was almost absent this episode. Again, she's not really in the crossfire in a veto episode because she's not on the block and she's not HOH. But the same thing. Like, they could have left her on the editing floor. You almost forgot that she was in the house. I mean, I think they even had David more than they had Christmas on this episode. But those are the star players. I definitely have to give the star player award to Ian and Kevin for this episode. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to give, you know, the editing floor awards to Keisha and Christmas. All right, so that does it for our first veto episode recap of the season. Like I said, I liked the episode. There were some things that I didn't like, but for a first veto episode where there's not a lot going on in the house strategically, I think it was a great episode and definitely pulled us in for the episode that's coming on Thursday. So thank you again for joining us from the Ebony PLV. Just to let you know, we are going to be dropping an episode of a live feed summary of everything that happened with Wednesday, specifically Wednesday night. There were definitely some things that happened on the live feeds during our Big Brother episode. So we'll definitely discuss that in the next podcast. And of course, we'll be live tweeting the live eviction episode that's coming on Thursday, and we'll definitely be dropping an episode recap after that. So please watch out for that. So thank you so much for joining us for the Ebony POV. If you have yet to subscribe to us, please subscribe. Please share the link that you'll see from the Ebony POV on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, on Breaker, and all major podcast networks. If you love what we're doing or you want us to improve, just let us know. And please send that link along. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Remember, Ebony POV is a part of SoWrongForThat.com. So please follow SoWrongForThat.com on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. Again, thank you so much for joining us for Ebony POV. We'll see you next time.